Hare Krishna, everyone. So we're continuing the morning classes about book distribution and the marathon the devotees are going to be performing. So I've chosen this verse. I think it's quite obvious for me why this verse is important in book distribution. So we will discuss that a little bit more. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text number 43. The chapter is entitled, Krishna is the Source of All Incarnations. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun and is arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from the Purana. Purport. Lord Shri Krishna has his eternal abode, his eternal Dharma or abode, where he eternally enjoys himself with his eternal associates and paraphernalia. And his eternal abode is a manifestation of his internal energy, whereas the material world is a manifestation of his external energy. When he descends on the material world, he displays himself with all paraphernalia in his internal potency, which is called Atma Maya. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He descends by His own potency, Atma Maya. In His name, fame, paraphernalia, abode, etc. are not, therefore, creations of matter. He descends to reclaim the fallen souls, to re-establish the codes of religion which are directly enacted by Him. Except for God, no one can establish the principles of religion. Either He or a suitable person empowered by Him can dedicate the codes of religion. Real religion means to know God, our relationship with Him, and our duties in relation with Him. To know ultimately our destination after leaving this material body. The conditioned souls who are entrapped by the material energy hardly knows all these principles of life. Most of them are like animals engaged in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. They are mostly engaged in sense enjoyment under the pretense of religiosity, knowledge, or salvation. They are still more blind. In the present age of quarrel of Kali Yuga, in Kali Yuga, the population is just a royal addition to animals. They have nothing to do with spiritual knowledge or godly religious life. They are so blind that they cannot see anything beyond the jurisdiction of subtle mind, intelligence or ego. But they are very much proud of their advancement in knowledge, science and material prosperity. They can risk their lives to become a dog or a hog just after leaving the present body, for they have completely lost sight of ultimate aim of life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared before us just a little prior to the beginning of Kali Yuga, and He returned to His own eternal home, particularly in the commencement of Kali Yuga. While He was present, He exhibited everything by His different activities. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita specifically and eradicated all pretensions, principles of religion. And prior to His departure from this material world, He empowered Srila Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people of this age. In other words, if men in this age of Kali went to see the real light of life, they must take to these two books only. The aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is the primary study of the Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublimium of life, Lord Shri Krishna personified. We must therefore accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the direct representative of Lord Krishna. One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can also One who can see Srimad Bhagavatam can see also Lord Shri Krishna in person. They are identical. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jainan Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Ramo Ramo, Hare Hare. Krishna Swadharma Pagato, Dharma Jnana Dibhi Saha, Kalo Naste Drisha Mesha, Purana Dako, Danudita. The Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So no matter how many times you give class, you always get the jitters. Isn't it nervous? Do you get jitters? You probably don't. Anyway, so, as most of you know, I like talking. But presenting this very, very elevated topic, I don't feel particularly qualified. There's many wonderful devotees who are very, very sincere and book distributors. So I ask for the blessings to say a few words so that maybe I can inspire to some degree. I used to be a book distributor a long, long time ago, but not so much. The little solace I get in book distribution is, once Prabhupada watched a drama, I think it was the kidnapping of Rukmini, and after watching the drama, then Prabhupada said, "Oh, these dramas are better than my books." And then the devotee wanted a little bit more explanation and said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because the dramas take you right into the pastimes of the Lord." So hopefully with our dramas, the book distribution is going on. Anyway, back to this point here. So before we talk about book distribution, I think it's important for us to understand these books, this literature. Although we take these books as granted, I remember as a young kid, with the pot washing, I used to help stack the books over there. I was a young devotee then, maybe 13, 14 years old, and I was helping stacking the books because I was getting ready for the marathon. And we were also going out. But I noticed the devotees were just stepping over the books and just lying them all over the place. And of course, I was a young neophyte devotee, still am, so I couldn't understand. So these books, although we take them for granted, we have to understand what this book is. So therefore, I took one quote from Srila Prabhupada from a lecture. It's a very, very famous lecture Prabhupada gave in L.A. Once I start reading it, you probably might remember the powerful lecture that Prabhupada gave. And this is what Prabhupada has to say about this book, this Srimad Bhagavatam. This Bhagavat, there's no comparison. There's no literature throughout the universe like the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, of course, we know there's so many different literatures, so many famous books written by Charles Dickens, by Jane Austen, so many famous books, you know. But there's no comparison, there's no literature throughout the universe like the Bhagavatam. So everybody likes reading books. We all read books, we study books. But the Bhagavatam, there's no literature like it. There's no comparison. There is no comparison. So his Prabhupada is emphasizing twice. There's no competition. Every word is good for the human society. So every single word that is written over here is good for the human society. So when Prabhupada was once asked to rest, his disciples were trying to encourage Prabhupada to translate more. They could see Prabhupada's time was limited. They could see that Prabhupada maybe might not finish the Bhagavatam. And then Prabhupada said, it's not easy to translate these books. You know, much great thought, much great deliberation goes into this purpose. So every single word is a powerhouse and it could knock you out if read when you're in the right mood. So every word is for the good of human society. Every word, each and every word. Therefore, we stress so much in this book distribution. So the word here, which one is the word here? Stress. So stress, we all go through different stress in life. No one is free from stress. So Prabhupada is emphasizing, we are stressing the importance of this book distribution. Somehow or another. So again, somehow or another, we have to try and see the importance of this book distribution. If the book goes in one hand, he will be benefited. So sometimes when we distribute books, I remember that if they don't take the book, at least you want them to touch the book, isn't it? As explained here, this is the literary incarnation of Krishna. This actually represents Krishna. I might not have that understanding, but the name is explained in the purport, it's all absolute. So if someone doesn't even take the book, even if they just touch the book, it'll have an effect on them. He will be benefited. At least he will see, oh, they have taken so much price. Again, this is quite an important point over here. They have taken so much price. So when we give something free, unless obviously someone is very sincere, and if a student, they have no ka-chings or no money, it is important that we place some value in these books. If it's a freebie, then people will not take that much value for it. So it is important we put some value. I remember in the days of yore, in the Zonal Chari in Italy, they used to produce the most nice, amazing, profound books. The Dulac editions of Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam. So imagine having one of those in your hand. So you would find that this book is very, very important. So someone would pay the price for it. And of course, everyone values money. They don't want their money to be wasted. So if there's a book there with some price of value, then they might want to read it. Let me see what there is. If he reads one shloka, his life will be successful. Just one shloka, that's all Prabhupada is saying, then his life will be successful. His life will be successful. If one shloka, then he goes down to say one word. This is such a nice thing. Therefore, we are stressing so much. Please distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. So of course we know in Kali Yuga it's very, very hard to get things through our skull. We have people sleeping in the Bhagavatam class. So it's not easy for us to try and listen to transcendental knowledge. It's very, very difficult because it's just the way it is. Even that famous verse, Kalo Nasteva, three times it emphasizes, because when someone is given instruction one time, when it's second time, maybe, but when it's a third time, maybe there's some value, maybe there's some importance. So three times we have to sometimes emphasize to get the importance of it. So then Prabhupada is emphasizing distribute books, distribute books, distribute books, three times. A greater madanga, we are chanting, playing our madanga. So in the kirtan, we play the madanga. So as Premanava mentioned in class, there's two types of madangas. There's the madanga that we play in the kirtan, and there's the brihat madanga. So the madanga that can be played sometimes here and can be heard in the next room, and sometimes in the early days, the kirtan will go from one room to another in the kitchen, and if there's some brahmachari sleeping upstairs, the kirtan would wake them up, you know. But it's in a very limited place. But the Brihat Madanga can be heard from one street to another street. And Prabhupada emphasizes that this Madanga will go home to home, country to country, community to community, this Madanga. So when Srila Prabhupada went first to Russia, he had one Bhagavad Gita, his own personal copy, and he left it behind with the devotee there. Ananta Shanti, I think his name. And that Bhagavad Gita, if you know the story, it went from home to home. It went from community to community. And that book was the only pure Bhagavad Gita as it is. And it was such a rare book. Imagine the Bhagavad Gita, how many verses? So you think it's hard to read the Bhagavad Gita, but the devotees in Russia, they would copy the Bhagavad Gita word by word. And they would have limited time, 3 days, then it would go to another person. And they would translate it into word by word, and then they would... So community to community, Prabhupada is saying it will go. So this books that we are presenting, we're giving to the public, they're not ordinary books. They have the power to change. So Prabhupada in the purport is explaining that in this material world, we are all just going about in our life, just eating, mating, defending, trying to enjoy life. And particularly at Christmas time, this rampant enjoyment is on a high level. Everybody wants to have a very, very good time. And everybody's out there busy trying to enjoy their senses. And of course, as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, one who partakes in this sense pleasure, Ramatesha Buddha, they have some pleasure. But at the end, only frustration comes about, isn't it? And everyone more or less kind of knows that during Christmas time, there's so much disappointment. It's such a high expectation is built up. But then when it comes to it, then people get very, very disappointed. At the family table, people are arguing. In America, people argue at the family table, not because of family dispute, because one's a Republican and one's a Democrat, and because of that, the family feud, and then they go and stay in the hotel or whatever. So, make no mistake about it, my dear devotees. Although people think they're having a good time, although people think they're enjoying life, actually there's nothing but pain and suffering outside there. And the devotees are so far and few in between here that we have such an important message to give that there's billions and billions of people are going about doing activities that we have that responsibility upon us to try and give these books to others. And as so many of us know, so many of us come in contact with these books and it's changed their mind, it's changed their life. These books are not ordinary books because they are non-different from Krishna. We all want to associate with Krishna, we all want to enter into the Leela of Krishna. There's that Smaranam, we try and meditate, chant around, trying to enter into the Ashta Kalila of Krishna. But by reading these books, we are directly associating with Krishna. And then we have this golden opportunity that when we have these valuable books, this valuable knowledge, we can try and help save others. And then there's no greater joy that Krishna gets when the prodigal son or daughter returns back to him. When the teenager goes because he thinks he knows it all And then the parents try so hard for him to stay. And then he goes and tries to make his own living. And then at a certain point, the parents get a call from the lost teenager saying, Dad, I'm stuck in Thailand. My money, my passport's been stolen. Help me. And of course, the dad, you know, is happy to send the ticket. So then we have that ticket. And what is that ticket? The Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that ticket? The Bhagavad Gita. That is the ticket, not coming back from Thailand, not getting stuck somewhere in the world, but yes, stuck in this material world. And this book, which is as brilliant as the sun, can actually give us light direction in our dark, miserable life. So therefore, this book distribution, Prabhupada was emphasizing so much so that it can help the suffering condition of everyone. There's so many stories over there of devotees somehow or another getting a book. I remember one devotee was telling me he was on a holiday in Greece and he was there with his girlfriend. And then he had his speedo on and he was relaxing. So, no offense, ladies. Most ladies can just sit in the sun and bask there hour after hour. But men, they get a little bit, oh, I can't stand here. So, you know, they turn, oh, they don't like it. So then they go around walking here. So this guy was there with his girlfriend. So she was lying there hour after hour. And then he was getting bored. So he started walking along the beach. Then along the beach, there were some rocks over there. And then from the corner of his eye, he caught one book being pushed by the waves. Then he looked at that book. Then he went over. Then he picked the book up. And then he looked at the book, and it was Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's a true story, devotee told me. And then, as I said, he was bored out of his skull. So then he went back to his place and then the wet Bhagavad Gita, he read it. And as they say, it was a page turner. And he kept on reading this wet Bhagavad Gita. And he couldn't stop reading it. And then he told his girlfriend, I'm pretty sure she wasn't so happy, right, I'm cutting this trip short. Because at the back there was an address of a Hare Krishna temple. And then he came back and he became a devotee afterwards and he got initiated. So that's the power of this book. This person was trying to enjoy, he couldn't enjoy his lovely Greece holiday. He was frustrated. And then the Bhagavad Gita came to him in the most interesting way. It came in the ocean, the Bhagavad Gita. There was many years ago, we used to have this program. It's a bit like Krishna Wisdom. It was called Folk, Friends of Lord Krishna. So this was kind of designed for people coming over here who couldn't follow the four regulative principles. They used to have a hard time with one of the regular, or maybe two of them. But still, we would encourage them. So this person, he came over. He was an older person. But sometimes, you know, the principles are not always easy for people to follow. So then he says, oh, I find it a bit difficult. I think I'm going to stop coming. So then the devotee saw, do you find the principles a little bit hard to follow? He goes, no, the principles, they're not a problem. He goes, oh, what difficulty do you have? He says, oh, I can't stop thinking about fishing. Somehow or another, he likes fishing. So he says, I just have to go find that lake and just sit there and just go fishing. And the devotees obviously tried to encourage him, but he wasn't having it. Anyway, devotees, if someone's got to go, they've got to go. So then he went, and then one day he was fishing, and then, you know what's coming, isn't it? So he was fishing. And then he thought he caught something. And then, this is a good catch. Then he was trying to reel his catch. So of course in canals, rivers, I don't know what it is. There's a Tesco shopping trolley over there or a bike or whatever it may be. And this is a true story. He was fishing and then as he was reeling and then out came a book. And it was a Bhagavad Gita. And he saw this as a sign from Krishna and he took that book. Then he came back with the devotees. So true stories. So these books over here, so although we sometimes, you know, devotees discuss, sometimes devotees wonder what benefit there is. So many books are pushed hard. They go out over there and maybe they just get chucked away. Maybe no one reads them. Maybe it's a waste of an effort unless we make some contact. But we have no idea how these books affect people's life. We might not see the immediate result, but they do generally affect people's life. And it might not be the right time at that particular situation. It might not be the right time he might read that book. But it'll be a certain point in his life, then it'll come to him. I remember watching this movie once, and there's always a good guy and a bad guy. So during this situation, the bad guy was obviously doing a lot of kind of evil things. And finally, the good guy catches him. And he has him and at a gunpoint. And then the bad guy is begging him, mercy, mercy, please, please, mercy. And the good guy looks at him and says, mercy, that's between you and God. My job is to give you that interview, and kills him. So the idea is that when we give this book, then it's his prerogative at a certain point for him to have that interview with God. And then if he reads that book, then that interview might fructify. So one day the devotees, they were going door to door. In those early days, we were going as monks, traditional, and then we had this kind of, no door should not be knocked on. Every single door was meant to be knocked on. So then the devotees were knocking on this door, and then two brahmacharis, then the door opened, and some lady opened the door. And then the lady noticed the clothes straight away because her eyes became wide and she stepped back and says, go away, stop, don't come over here. And she tried to close the door on the devotees. So of course the devotees never like to take no for an answer. Then they put their foot over there. And then the lady was trying to close, says, please, 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 you know. And then the lady didn't even say anything. So she opened the door. And then she said like this in a gesture to follow her. So then the devotees followed her and they thought they were going to take her to the living room and maybe talk to her. Then from the living room they could see the garden. And then she pointed to the garden. And then the devotees were wondering, why is she pointing to the garden? And then she pointed specifically to the garden shed. And she says, go to the garden shed. And then the devotees didn't know what was going on. And so then they went out to the garden. And then they went to the garden shed. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And then they knocked on the garden shed. And then they opened the garden shed. And they saw someone dressed in saffron with a danda like a sannyasi. And then the devotees was wondering, who is this person? They didn't recognize. It wasn't Keshava Maharaj, that's for sure. So they was wondering, who is this Maharaj? Anyway, so then they went to speak with him. And then the other person, they also recognized the devotees with the monk. And then they started conversation. And then it transpired that somehow or another he got this book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in the Bhagavatam, it explains Prabhupada is always talking about vanaprastha and taking sannyas. And then there was no temple, there was no address. So then by reading Prabhupada's book, he decided to take Vanaprastha and he took sannyas and got some saffron cloth and he built himself a little bhajan kutir in the garden shed. So just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, this is a true story, this was in the 80s, that by reading Prabhupada's books, his life, he took the instruction somehow or another, because devotees guided him a little bit and helped him. But, you know, it had an effect in his life. Another time, a devotee was performing, what do you call this? Ouija board, what's these things? People hold hands, the occult thing, and they try to channel. Ouija board. Anyone ever tried this? Anyway, so this group of people, they would meet, I think in the 70s, everyone was always trying these different ways to try and connect to some higher source of power or whatever. Anyway, so they were at this kind of board thing, and they were trying to channel into the higher spirits. And then they were trying to get some knowledge about life, about things beyond birth and death. And then this voice or whatever said to this one person, your questions are too difficult, I can't answer them. So he says, go to the second-hand bookshop and you'll find your answers there. So the next day this person, he went to the second-hand bookshop, and then naturally he went to the eastern section. He thought maybe that's where. So then he took some books on Buddha. He took some books on Zen Buddha and different kinds of yoga and things. So he took a few of those books thinking maybe he might find some books. So he had a pile of about 5 or 6 books. Then he put them on the counter. Then he asked the person to tally the books. Then as the person was tallying the book, then there was a little thud noise. And that devotee was wondering, what was that thud noise? And then the cashier said, oh, this one book, it fell. And then the cashier picked up the book and he put it back on the shelf at the back. Sometimes you get books which are returned. And then that person said, what was that book? He says, no, it's not a big thing. He said, oh, let me look at that book. Then that cashier took the book and the book read Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then, because he believed a little bit in the occult or these kind of things, he was thinking maybe this is the book he was supposed to take. This is the book he was supposed to have. Then he said, cancel that order, I'll take this book. So of course the other person saw 5 books, 1 book. He was trying to say, no, take this one. He said, no, I'll take this one. Anyway, so he read the Bhagavad Gita and then he became a devotee and he got initiated by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So, somehow or another, this book came to him in a mysterious way. He was a sincere person, trying to look for some knowledge, trying to find answers to life. And then, the Paramatma is guiding the wanderings of all the living entities. So although we see people are trying to enjoy life outside there, but there are many, many sincere people out there who want to know more about life, who want to know what is the meaning of all this. And by getting these books, it will change their life. I remember when I was doing the China mission, I was in China. Tamal Krishna Maharaj invited us over to do some preaching in China. This was way back in the 90s. And then me and my devotee friend, Kamsa Hunter, we used to go to this, what they call English corners. So in this English corner, many Chinese students, they would come over there and they would want to practice English. How's your English? Good? Not very good. Okay, anyway, go to the English corners. So then in the English corners, then the Chinese students, they would go over there and then they would try and improve the English talking to each other. So we would go there Of course, my English isn't that great, and you can tell. But when they saw us speaking, then the students would come and they would latch on to us. And then they would start asking us questions. And then, who are you? Where do you come from? Are you married? This and that. Your typical questions, you know. And then, of course, they would ask the inevitable question, what do you do? What is your work? What's your occupation? Then I would say, I'm a doctor. They say, you're a doctor. Wow, fantastic. Then I'm a doctor of science. They say, really? He says, I'm a metaphysical doctor. And say, metaphysical? What's that? Never heard of that. Then that's the science between the difference between the body and the soul. And said, kru, 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 kru. Never heard of that before. So then we will start talking a little bit more deeper and deeper. And then once you start talking, some of them would latch on and want to know more. Some would, they weren't interested. So then after two or three visits, once we know someone, then we give them a book. So there was this one student, I remember, he was really, really, really interested. So unfortunately, we broke the protocol. We were supposed to wait 3 contacts before we give a book. But this person was asking, you could see he was just thirsty for this knowledge. You know, like in a desert, glug, 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 glug. He was chucking down the information and, you know, he wanted the book. So we gave him a book. But unfortunately, as time would have it, at that time we were also being watched by their version of KGB or whatever. So they started taking pictures of us giving books. So these guys, these dodgy looking guys, they stopped me and these devotees and they pushed us in one place and they started showing us these pictures of us giving books. And then this is, you're here because we were on the pretext there to learn some Tai Chi, you know. But actually, we were there to try and distribute some books. Anyway, so then they cornered us. And then in the corner was a picture of this student who was asking loads of information. So then they followed this person. And then, of course, they interrogated him and they took him away. And then they were asking all sorts of questions. Of course, because we only had the first meeting, he didn't really know much information. So then, after much interrogation, then they ransacked his house. They took whatever little books we gave him. And then they were telling us we have to leave on the next flight. And then they brought this person to us. And then the person was shaking like anything. So then we spoke very briefly with him. And what they did, they kept him up for 3 nights and they were prodding him with this electric prod, you know. And they were trying to get information. And then we felt really, really sorry for this person. And then we felt a little bit guilty. And then we kind of apologized. He said, no, don't apologize. He said, that book that you gave me has changed my life. And he says, they took some of the books away, but I managed to keep one of the books, Sri Ishopanishad, and I'm going to take it wherever I go, and I'm going to read this book. So even though he was put in such a difficult situation, even though he was tortured, he still managed to hide the Sri Ishopanishad, and wherever they took him, he was willing to risk his own life to keep this book. So he had this book only on a limited time. He only had this book for such a short span of time. But yet it transformed his life. It changed his life. And under even such a duress, under such a difficult situation, he would not give up that book. He wanted to hold it because he could see the importance of these books. So the stories just go on and on and on and on with so many devotees. I'm sure Vishwamba has many stories about devotees getting books. I have so many, so I'm sure everyone has, Premanava, everyone has. So there's so many stories about people reading these books and their life being transformed. I remember, I think many, many years ago, I think in the 70s, the devotees were distributing books and there was a big court case, and it was, I don't know what they call it in America, people versus whatever it is. So then the people were complaining, the devotees were distributing books. It's a big court case, and then the people who were trying to stop the book distribution, they went to the judge, and they said, you know, these people are really, really strange. You know what kind of books they distributed? So then they got, I think it's the seventh canto, and then they showed a picture of Nrisimhadev. And then they said, you know, this book, this is their god. And the judge was looking and said, this person is tearing this guy. What kind of a god is this? And the son, that's the father, he's so happy that his father's getting torn apart, he's giving him a garland. And on top of that, this god of theirs taking the intestines and putting it all over him. What kind of god is this? You have to stop these books. These books are complete madness. So when the judge heard about all this, he was a very intelligent person. So when you're a judge, you have to try and understand both points of view. You can't just make a judge. So he actually, unknowing to the devotees, he took a set of Bhagavatam from the devotees, because this court case was going on for many days. He actually read the Bhagavatam. And because he was an intelligent person, he could understand the Bhagavatam. And he could understand actually that picture. And then every time they tried to bring, he said, no, that man, he deserved what he did because what he did to his son. And in the end, the judge proclaimed, book distribution is allowed and cannot be stopped. And I remember it was a great victory. Haribol! And Prabhupada went, because that was a make or break in our movement. But the devotees, they came out victorious, and Prabhupada was very, very happy. And I think he was in India at that point when the information came, and he had some guests at that point. Then he was showing how value or important or it was authorized this movement was. So when you go out there, I know it might be a chore, I know it might be difficult, I know it's not easy, and I know I might not be going out, but I think I'm going to be going out for Vishwambar. Few days also. So, although I got some cobwebs growing in the last few years, you get a bit kind of comfortable. But I've decided I want to go out. So Vishwamba, very kind, is going to take me out to see if I can try and distribute, to find that person who can hook the Bhagavad Gita out, to see if some Ouija board will push the Bhagavad Gita, see if there's a book in the second hand shop for some devotee to read and transform their life. And hopefully the prodigal son or the daughter will return back home, back to Krishna, where we all begin. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. So any points, questions, queries, complaints, or anyone wants to add any stories? I'm sure there's some nice stories. Anyone like to add? Yours was the Bhagavad Gita, the book that you read first, wasn't it? Yeah, Bhagavad. Look, we have Austin here. He read the Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Haribol! The power of Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Okay, thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Kija.